Ministry welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events we see coming from the Vatican as well as other related sources. Each week I hope to illustrate the importance of investigating prophecy as it pertains to not only historic events but current events as well. On my site, www.remnantofgod.org, I have over 2,700 pages of facts exposing all that Antichrist would hope to hide from you and your loved ones. Please understand that I am not called to attack the Catholic people. Prophecy directly identifies the pulse of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist and not the individual Catholics therein. There are many sincere children of the Almighty Creator in all churches, including the Church of Rome. The prophecies are merely a collection of judgments, corrections, and revelations exposing the massive anti-Christian organization which has openly embraced paganism. Of course, there are many prophecies and scriptures that point out errors, demonic doctrines, traditions of men, etc. in all religions, Christians and non-Christian alike. The fact of the matter remains that the elect of the Lord, no matter what church they are standing in at this time, will always accept correction from their loving Heavenly Father and do as Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 declares. They will come out of those churches. They will not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye or even a cold heart to the truth provided in His holy word when it is made known unto them. It is for these children, the past, the present, and future members of the remnant of God that I proclaim this three angels message of Revelation. If you have any questions or comments you feel would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call me during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582. For anyone that calls in the show, if you give us your name and address, I'll send you some information about the beast and his mark, along with information on how to receive some free books regarding Antichrist and his modern-day desires, as well as a free Bible course on prophecy. And if you're listening to this broadcast online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com using dial-up and you do not have access to a second phone at this time, I invite you to join me on the website at remnantsofgod.org. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room. Now, in the POGM audio chat section of the website, you'll see it will say public room, the very first one. Click that and then you enter in. You can text chat any comments or questions you have during the show. Now, I hope I have time to take calls at the last half. I'm pretty sure I will, but, I got a lot to cover here, so. In this week's broadcast, I would like to run through a series of events that I believe prove the Vatican is secretly pushing for gay marriages in both Canada as well as the USA. Was it intentional? You tell me. I'm going to share a few facts and let you, the listener, be the judge of all this. But before going further, does the Word of God proclaim as one of the characteristics of Antichrist being homosexual in nature? Is there prophetic evidence that this church is doing as Antichrist will do, even in this regard? I mean, can prophecy be that blunt? Daniel, chapter 11, verse 37, says, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all." Last week, I shared quite a few quotes from the Vatican that prove, yes, the popes do not regard the Father, and yes, they do magnify themselves above God. In fact, they call themselves God on earth. But what about the homosexual situation? I mean, can prophecy be that accurate? Is this a church that would deny women completely? Now, most of us are aware of this fact without even having to research it too much. But let's see how deep this goes. First and foremost is the unbiblical stance that all Roman Catholic priests must be celibate. Rome openly demands that their priests refuse the biblical requirement of marriage, regardless of the fact that 1 Timothy 3:2 says a bishop, which is a pastor, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach, of course. Since I have been exposing Rome some 19 years now, I have come across the occasional priest or layperson that has insisted that if, in fact, a priest sought out marriage, Rome would not object. It's just that the priests prefer celibacy. They, in fact, claim that marriage is holy and sacred. In fact, just the other day I received an article from the Roman Catholic publication named Zenit.org regarding this very fact. In this article on February 10, 2004, Roman Catholic Cardinal Edward Egan assailed the notion of homosexual marriage and criticized Hollywood for desecrating marriage and destroying something sacred and holy. You know, I know this seems confusing for Rome to say in one breath that marriage is holy and sacred and the next say it is not for our priests. Prophetic fact is, the God of Rome is in fact the author of confusion. They seek to appear holy so as to make all think that they have no stake in this homosexual agenda. In fact, what occurred quite recently has blessed me with an open and shut case on Rome's hatred of the sanctity of marriage, in fact. This cardinal is actually lying in this article when he says that the Vatican embraces marriage, and I can prove it. In May of 2001, Roman Catholic bishop, or archbishop rather, Emmanuel Malingo, married Korean acupuncturist Maria Sung. Reverend Sung Young Moon officiated at the wedding. When the Vatican got wind of this, they threatened the archbishop with excommunication if he didn't divorce the woman. If I'm not mistaken, they did actually excommunicate the man. This, of course, is regardless of the fact that Mark chapter 10, verse 9 says, "What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Malingo, of course, held out as long as he could, but in August of that very year, he did finally renounce his marriage with his wife and left her to go back to Rome. This amazed more than a few people. Rome actually forced this man to divorce his wife, even though she did not do anything worthy of divorce. How can Cardinal Egan say that Rome embraces marriage as something holy and sacred and then force the man to divorce his wife because he's a priest? Does the prophetic word speak of a church as this? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you will see that yes, in the latter days, not only will they depart from the faith and embrace doctrines of demons, they will forbid to marry. Why? Well, Satan hates the institution of marriage. It was instituted in Eden before sin even entered into the world. We know about Adam and Eve. Oh, by the way, this is also why Satan attacks the seventh-day Sabbath. It, too, was instituted before sin entered into the world. But that's a whole other topic now, isn't it? Think about that. It's not a Jewish invention. In fact, the Sabbath was there 2,500 years before a Jew was ever even born. But getting back, the word is plain. If you seek a pastor, you must be the husband, or if you seek to be a pastor, rather, you must be the husband of one wife. Yet Rome says, no way. You will be excommunicated from the church if you marry a woman. However, do a little research and you will find that none of the child molesters that are behind bars for molesting little boys have been officially excommunicated. Not even the ones that were convicted, last I checked. Yet they did commit hellish acts. Archbishop Malingo committed no sin in getting married, and he is threatened with excommunication. That says a lot about Rome's true intentions towards homosexual lifestyle. In fact, they are opening up, or actually they're openly lobbying in favor of a man-boy love legislation as we speak. Headline, pedophilia advocate featured in Catholic Church concert, LifeSite Special Report, November 2000, Toronto, Canada. LifeSite has learned that on October 27th, a concert at St. Basil's Catholic Church in Toronto featured a composition by Gerald Hannon, Canada's leading advocate of intergenerational sex, or pedophilia. Hannon was part of the choir, and he was applauded separately after the piece by the musicians and those in attendance. Hannon is one of Canada's most outspoken defenders of pedophilia. In December of 1977, he published an article entitled "Men Loving Boys, Loving Men," wherein he discussed favorably and explicitly homosexual acts with boys as young as 7 years of age. The article led to criminal charges, but Hannon was acquitted. You know, this may seem shocking to some, but it appears all those at the Catholic concert had no problem applauding Canada's leading advocate of pedophilia. In fact, in France, we see this happening now. September 4th, 2001, headline, "Priest says pedophilia was good for children." This is from the province of Aixen. It's A-I-X-E-N or whatever, I don't know. France. It says a Roman Catholic priest on trial in the southern French town for failing to disclose the sexual abuse of minors has argued that pedophilia acts that took place in the parish were actually good for the children. Father Hubert Barrel, 67, who heads the parish in the village of Vernequiz, I don't know, I probably slaughtered that word, faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted on a charge failing to assist a person in danger and failing to report a crime. Barrel had also told one of the children that making love was a way of being in touch with God. With all this in mind, I would also like you to keep in mind all the pedophile lawsuits that are popping up all over the world against Roman Catholic priests. In fact, it had gotten so bad that a gag order was placed on the media regarding these lawsuits. Why? Well, common sense. If the Catholic people knew just how bad it really was, they would have to close a lot more than just 80 churches in the Boston area like they're going to do pretty soon. All this legal activity is causing such a drain on the Vatican's finances that it is obvious they are in trouble. They know that if this continues much longer, they'll be shut down permanently. So, what can they do to either lessen the dollar amounts of these lawsuits or get them to drop altogether? Homosexual marriages. Okay, some of you may be thinking, huh? Did you just say gay marriage is going to help Rome out of this mess? Yeah, that's what I said, exactly what I said. Before gay marriage, you have lawsuits that are legally very offensive. But with gay marriage, you now open the door to a bevy of perversion that the laws of the land can accept and allow for some leeway. Case in point is what happened in Canada recently. I reported in a few truth-provided audio clips back in June and July on my site of last year that Rome needs to push the homosexual agenda forward so as to help them get out of this financial disaster. Since the Roman Catholic scandal regarding the vulgar and sickening act of child molestation, I have noticed a political blitzkrieg in the media regarding homosexuality. Articles on almost every topic concerning gay lifestyle have flooded the media. Directly after Canada allowed gay marriages, I reported in an audio clip that we should be watching Rome and their pedophilia problem more closely now. But, as usual, Rome will get her problem fixed by hiding behind governing officials to doing their dirty work. This is how the Inquisition worked, this is how Hitler worked, and this is how the U.S. government has been doing it lately. Case in point, less than a week after the gay marriage announcement in Canada, you saw this occur in the USA. Headline, victims angered and upset by ruling freeing molesters, July 12th, New York Times reported. George Neville Rucker, an 82-year-old former Roman Catholic priest, was on a two-month cruise off of the Aleutian Islands in Alaska when, the authorities said, his past finally caught up with him. But this week, before any evidence was presented to the jury, Mr. Rucker walked out of court a free man. He molested over a couple dozen. I can't remember the exact total. It's in the full article, but I'm just hitting the highlights here. He goes, he is among perhaps hundreds of people in California who are being freed from trial or jail as a result of a United States Supreme Court ruling on June 26 overturning a 1993 California law that allowed charges against child molesters protected from by a previous deadline on prosecutions. State officials said the decision affected as many as 800 people accused of sexual offenses or already convicted. The ruling and the release of the offenders had infuriated victims and frustrated prosecutors. We're still licking our wounds here, said William Hodgman, head of the Sexual Crimes Unit of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Conservatively, we have over 200 impacted cases, and L.A. County alone with the prospect of going higher. He added, without any question, there will be established child molesters free from custody and allowed to go back into the communities where they came. Let me stop here for a minute. Can anyone see what's transpiring here? Absolutely every person in the United States of America that has access to a television, a radio, the internet, or even a newspaper knows that the Roman Catholic Church is the sole beneficiary of such a horrendous law as this. Only Rome will benefit by this. Sure, you know, some pedophiles that are not Catholic priests will be released from prison, and we can solely thank Rome for that. But it's truly Rome that will be blessed by this. Literally thousands of lawsuits across this nation prove that beyond a doubt. You would have to be literally dead or in a coma to miss this simple reality. The largest organized group of child molesters is, in fact, Roman Catholic priests. This is not something we have to debate about. This is common knowledge now. It's an organized group. The Roman Catholic Church needs the gay community to flex their muscles right now. They need laws like this overturned. They need to get these priests out of trouble, no matter what the expense. They need to make the homosexual agenda appear not only normal, but completely acceptable before the eyes of the American public, and especially the court systems. They have too far and too much to lose otherwise. I mean, there are so many lawsuits pending before the courts regarding child molestation that the government put the gag order on the media regarding the reporting of the number of lawsuits after the Boston scandal. The Roman Catholic Church knows that if the American people knew how many thousands of lawsuits are pending, this would cause a massive exodus from Rome that would dwarf the Reformation. The media, in cooperation with the Roman Catholic-controlled government, need to pump the gay agenda into every life that's living at this point. In fact, while I was watching the Chicago News reporting on this law, the reporter stated they did a poll regarding the Supreme Court's decision and found 74% of the people agreed with it. I don't mean to chuckle, but that's utterly ridiculous. It's a bold-faced lie. How is it possible to do a poll of the American people minutes after the Supreme Court decision is handed down? Plus, how is it possible to get 74% of the people to agree with the smallest minority known to man? That's right. The homosexual community is the smallest minority. Yet, they are the most vocal. Why? Roman Catholic funding and support. It is essential you understand this. Who, I ask, has the most to gain by these positive reports regarding this evil lifestyle recorded in the Word of God in both the Old and New Testament as an abomination? Does the gay community have much to gain? Well, sure, they have somewhat of a positive outlook on this, yes, but can you compare it to the Roman Catholic Church? Night and day, people, night and day. The homosexual community is still the smallest minority known to man, but the Vatican is the largest recipient of child molestation lawsuits. As we all know, the homosexual community wants these insane laws passed. That's a no-brainer. But what is always the main reason for a major political push whenever it is realized? Money. And do the homosexuals see a cash cow in this law? Not really. Sure, they may get some benefits regarding tax write-offs and the like, but when you hold that up to a now admitted, and this was like last year, the Vatican admitted to over $1 billion, I think it was like $1.7 or $1.3 billion projected loss in lawsuits. Anyone with an ounce of sense can see that Rome is most definitely the main beneficiary to all this. And being the political monster that it is, something like this is an easy game to play. Especially if you have a few million homosexuals already picketing for such laws to be passed. I mean, are we that dumb in America to believe that a few people with perverted sexual desires and without the political chutzpah needed to perform such a campaign can get laws changed so easily? I don't think so. I mean, someone powerful has to be behind all this, especially in a so-called Christian nation. And it's no wonder we have homosexual couples in sitcoms, as well as gays kissing on TV. New York, I don't want to get into that, but take, for example, the reality shows that depict many men seeking after one woman or vice versa. Okay? Well, now we have a gay reality show where a group of men are doing who knows what in the show. I ain't going to watch it. The strange twist on the show is that it is designed to make the straight community tune in at the same time because some of the guys ain't gay. So sure, some of the guys down the street, you know, are going to want to watch it just to see who the guy is that got played. The media is doing all it can to get this perverted lifestyle in front of the eyes of the people so as to break down our defenses. It's common sense that sooner or later it's going to be accepted out of sheer repetition, and now we see Massachusetts. Think of it. America is flooded with the homosexual lifestyle repeatedly by the media. The courts overturn homosexual laws. America becomes a land complacent to the homosexual decadence. Therefore, the judge handling all these child molestation lawsuits will no doubt be swayed. And there's no way around it. They're wearing us down. It's like putting a frog in a boiling pot. He'll jump right out, won't he? But if you put him in a pot with cool water, he'll stay in there. If you put a slow flame underneath it, he'll stay in there until you cook him to death. You know, by the way, this new ruling will also play more pressure on those states that don't much agree with homosexual marriages. Now that Canada has allowed for homosexual marriage, the United States Supreme Court knew they would have to jump on the bandwagon as well. They know many homosexual couples will run to Canada, get married, and then return to the States to live as husband and wife. I'm sure we've all heard about the many legal problems this is going to cause in the articles that the media has been flooding us with. But, you know, I recall an article not too long ago that showed a sad homosexual couple pictured in the article. You know, two guys were very sad and depressed, the article stated, because they were married in Canada and now they can't return home to the States as a married couple. The Supreme Court ruling is almost perfectly planned. Their timing is actually a bit obvious as well. But there's still a problem left for Rome. Sure, this new ruling may ease some of the legal responsibilities of the church when their lawyers were able to somehow prove it's okay to have sex with boys who are 18 years of age or older, but what of all those youngsters they attacked and forced themselves upon? What about them? Is there such an agenda of Rome to get this legalized as well? Do you recall the article I read that started this broadcast about the child molester that held a Catholic concert, NAMBLA, or the North American Man-Boy Love Association? I mean, they're most definitely working on this one. And as was reported in the first article I read, Rome is all for it. Sure, they'll lie in the media so as to make themselves appear moral when it comes to decadence like this, but when you look at the facts where the Vatican refused a zero-tolerance policy regarding child molestation, and then St. Basil's Catholic Church in Toronto holds concerts for NAMBLA, well, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. The prophesied unjust laws are being passed that first and foremost benefit Antichrist and his homosexual priests. Many of us knew this day was coming when we saw how the Supreme Court placed the gag order on the media regarding this. They were protecting Rome then, and they're protecting him now. The U.S. government, the Lamb-horned beast of Revelation, needs the beast of Rome and vice versa if their New World Order agenda is going to work. Prophecy declares this: these two will play a major role in forcing the mark of the beast. Still, regardless of the fact that the government-controlled media clammed up on these facts, the true facts, I mean, the truth is, there truly are hundreds of priests in jail, or about to be in jail. Satan knows this, so his man in Rome has to get busy spin-doctoring not only the media, he has to schmooze the lawmakers. And seeing how the majority of the Congress is sympathetic to the Vatican, and the majority of the Senate is as well, and it would be a snap to convince the majority of Catholic sympathizers in the Supreme Court to follow the Rome's lead on this. Well, the article continues to say, it says, among those decisions Free's prosecutors said are Roman Catholic priests accused in some of the most notorious molestation cases in California. I mean, it's not just like some guy got caught down the street messing with some little kid. These guys are doing it for decades. You know, dozens of kids are getting affected by just one priest. Continuing, in addition to Mr. Rucker, prosecutors dropped charges this week against two other former priests. The decision applies to all molesters recently charged in crimes that occurred before 1988 or recently convicted in such crimes. Until 1994, child molesters could not be prosecuted in California more than 6 years after the offense. The new law extended the time in which prosecutions were allowed and authorized prosecutions that the old law's deadline had barred. Under the new law, an adult could provide evidence of sexual molestation before age 18, regardless of when it occurred, and prosecutors had a year to bring the charges. Well, fact is, people, the reason the law was changed back then was to accommodate even the massive amount of people stepping forward declaring the priests of Rome pedophiles. But how many 11 or 12 or even 17-year-olds do you know that are considered to be credible witnesses? The courts knew that back then, as always. Most prosecuting attorneys know that the defending attorney would have an easy time of it if they saw a 12-year-old boy sitting on a witness stand. So the law bumped up the age. Problem is, too many credible adults came forward. They messed up. And thanks to the truth coming to a flood in Boston not too long ago, many others decided to get on the bandwagon because of how easy it was being made known. It was no longer embarrassing for many, mainly because of the two things. There is strength in numbers, and the church has gobs of money to shell out. Again, yes, there are some pedophiles that are let out of jails that are not Catholic priests. That is inevitable if this is going to work for Rome. And keep that in mind, however. These pedophiles are not part of the ones that are not priests. They're not part of a multi-billion dollar entity like the Vatican. No one pedophile is going to cause a landslide multi-million dollar lawsuit like the thousands of Roman Catholic priests can. But that, in a nutshell, is why we see these unjust laws targeting our children being passed. The article goes on to say, the Supreme Court's ruling said the Constitution's ban on retroactive laws prohibited prosecution for offenses that had been previously barred by this passage of time. The ruling took effect immediately, and several people accused of sexual offenses were released the next day. Trials were stopped, people were released from prisons, investigations were closed. Bill Lockyer, the California Attorney General, said in an interview, his office is compiling records of cases affected by the decision, and he estimates that 500 to 800 prosecutions would be dropped. You know, when was the last time any of us saw a law lobbied, changed, and implemented that fast? This was done instantly. And keep in mind, people, that's just one state. Let's play the averages on the low end here. Let's assume for a moment that each state only has 500 pedophiles in them. And by the way, California is only projecting those estimates on the data that they have on two counties of the state. But still, let's play the low ball here for a second. You know, for the sake of illustration, let's still say that only 500 molesters are going to be released per state. That means the Roman Catholic Church has blessed a minimum of 25,000 child rapists with freedom. Not only that, they don't have to report to any local authorities anymore. They are literally free to live right next door to you and me. Rome must have their priest released from jail. It's common knowledge now that this church is unable to keep this priesthood filled. There are articles, videos, and even books on this topic now designed to make the priesthood look attractive. But most heterosexual men refuse to join the priesthood because of the unbiblical stance that they cannot marry women. And they don't want to be looked at as homosexuals either, so it's kind of embarrassing to say I'm a priest nowadays. But the homosexual community already rejects women, and they totally don't care what people think of them, so the priesthood is actually heaven on earth to them. Fact is, what little numbers they do have in recruitment is most assuredly a majority of homosexual men. It's the old saying, coming to light right before our eyes. Roman Catholic priests don't become pedophiles. Pedophiles become Roman Catholic priests because they will be protected. These Catholic priests were finally caught red-handed right before the eyes of mankind molesting children. And instead of doing the right thing, they seek to do the legal thing just to save their church. I remember an article, I think it was in Michigan, where they were suing the family because the family let the priest babysit the kid. You shouldn't have let your child be babysat by our priest. And so they were countersuing. It's strange. You know, just as I stated before it happened, the judges had indeed stepped forward to say sodomizing children is now no longer considered illegal. And to think, many of us thought that this day was coming a little bit further off in the future, or even never to arrive, in fact. You know, soon you're going to see a flurry of child molesters being released in our neighborhoods. Not just priests, mind you. If they're going to get this to work, they have to let all these guys out. And if you say that only Catholic priests are exempt from this crime of pedophilia, it's going to look like you're playing favorites, so they're going to have to let them all out. If you make everyone that does this act seem acceptable in some way or another, then the priests look even better, because it's now considered a normal fact of life, and men are just men, you know, they're weak, flesh is weak. Not only does this insane ruling of the Supreme Court allow for child molesters to be freed, it allows for all sorts of sexual decadence to be legalized. From polygamy to incest, we are about to see this nation go straight to the pits of hell. Texas, California, and now Massachusetts is just the beginning. Think about this for a moment. Many, and I mean many, are now seeing this putrid garbage played out in the media on a daily basis. Even young children are watching this sewage. It's all over our televisions. Many are about to step forward and voice their concerns in one way or another. Soon you'll see more websites, news articles, radio announcers, preachers, and ordinary people from all walks of life talking about how evil this church really is. Not the people, the hierarchy I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not talking about the Catholic people. Even more Catholics are going to leave because of this. And then we will see the church really start to flex its muscles. Like during the Reformation, the church graphically fears its church pews being emptied. The Vatican will revert back to the days of the persecutions to try and quench the opposition against it that is so graphically exposing it. Is this why in February of 1991, Pope John Paul II reinstituted the Office of Inquisition and renamed it the Holy Office? You know, the difference at first will be persecutions to try and quench the opposition against it will be kind of like quiet or a secretive matter. Just like we saw, you know, the laws in Texas and California being passed. Many that look upon these laws are still unaware that Rome's behind it. They will do the same thing with Christians that speak out against them. Many of us will be arrested and even killed for crimes we never committed. You know, after the break, I got a little bit of a shocker here for you of what's happening in Canada. They passed a law, or a bill rather, that if you speak out to homosexual in regards to their lifestyle using the Bible, you can go to jail for 5 years. Be back in a minute. remnantsofgod.org. Click the silver microphone on the right, surf to the public audio chat room, and then you can come in and have questions right there in the text chat if you want, and we'll do it live. Getting back as to what I said before the break in regards to the 5-year jail term, let me read you the little excerpt from this article that came out on worldnetdaily.com on September 18th of last year. Headline: Bible as Hate Speech Bill Passes. Canada's House of Commons passed a controversial bill yesterday opposed by religious believers and free speech advocates who say it will criminalize public expression against homosexual behavior. The bill passed, 141 to 110, adds sexual orientation as a protected category in Canada's genocide and hate crimes legislation, which carries a penalty of up to 5 years in prison. Now, this article went on to say that pedophilia would be considered part of the law's scope of protection. So I guess that advocate that's doing the concerts at the Catholic churches is bending some ears. You can read the entire article and more in my September 2003 Truth Provided newsletter on the website. Now, just a few moments ago, I received an article titled Homosexuality and Hate Speech from Zenit Organization, where it stated that just last November 10th, a British Anglican bishop who suggested that homosexuals seek psychological counseling ended up becoming the target of a police investigation, according to the Telegraph newspaper. Is this not a Roman tactic? You know, the government passes a law that infuriates the masses, or as prophecy would put it, speak and cause. The government passed a law that makes the people angry, and to assure their law is adhered to, they put a jail sentence on anyone that would speak out against it, regardless of its immorality. Force is always the case with Rome, and don't think it will end there, not by any means. John Paul II made sure of that when he reinstituted the Office of Inquisition back in February of 1991. And by the way, for those listening that think this is all too far-fetched to believe, stop by remnantofgod.org. You know, on that site I got over 2,700 printable pages of facts that carry all sorts of sources for every fact that I will raise in these broadcasts and more. In fact, I could actually have 5,000 pages if it was more than just me doing this. Luke chapter 17, verses 28 to 30 states, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The world is embracing the sin of sodomy that is fitly named after the city of Sodom. They are doing exactly as Jesus Christ said they would be doing in these last days. Jesus said it would be as it is in the days of Lot when he returns, and so it is. And all of this decadence is being orchestrated via the halls of Roman Catholic Vatican. And the wonderful thing about all of this is you have God's word on it. In fact, you have it in advance, no less. You know, by the way, to further stir the pot, were you aware that it is now documented that Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS 11 times greater than any other group in the United States of America? I have all the facts and figures laid out in my February 7th, 2000 Truth Provided newsletter. You can access the newsletters in the current section of the website menu. How many children have been infected? You know, I recall a couple of years ago that a family was in massive turmoil, no doubt, when they found a priest that molested their sons, that's right, I said sons, plural, was HIV positive. Strange thing is, the media never followed up on that story. I wonder why. Remember that Steve Cook kid, I think, I can't remember his name, he came up into the media declaring that he became homosexual because he was molested by Cardinal Bernardine and some other bishop at the time. And the next day he had regressive memory problems, they said, and they were fixed in one night. You know, sometimes it takes years or a lifetime to fix memories like that. They're saying that he had. What actually happened was, as the young man was dying of AIDS, he wanted money to take care of his family. And so he got his money, and he did die. And then, of course, Cardinal Bernardine died. It's time for the people trapped in Rome and other churches that walked with her to realize that enough's enough. And I'm not saying we can stop prophecy and say that, you know, I mean, this is going to occur anyway. So you can't stop it. It's not like I'm saying, you know, let's all rebel and have a big old revolt. No, you can't stop it. What I'm saying is we need to be more adamant in our approach towards those trapped in churches like this. We need to convince the loyal Catholic people and anybody else that believes in this matter that this is how the world defines them, or this is how actually the world defines Roman Catholicism now. Sad to say, it's a literal joke in most circles now, and it's sad. They can't even claim they are being persecuted because they are now looked upon as the ones doing the persecuting. And what's really strange is their own children. Their church is targeting. You know, I know it seems strange to have to try and convince people of this. One would think common sense would play a large role in this, but we are dealing with a prophesied beast here. The word doesn't kid around when it says all the world will wonder after the beast. You know, truth is, folks, some of this is our own fault. Us Christians, Those of us outside of home know how evil it is, but do we warn them? We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, when approaching our dear Catholic friends and neighbors, now more than ever. They need to be made known of these facts. But we must be Christ-like in our approach. Yes, they are looked upon in a very evil light by the world now, thanks to their church leaders, but we are not of this world. We see them as people in desperate need of Jesus. We don't look at them in this way. So we need to share Jesus with them in a way that opens their eyes to just show how evil their church leaders are. The Catholic people are not solely to blame here. Treat them with the respect, and you will be surprised how truth can affect even the most devoted Catholic. I was Catholic 29 years. I went to Mass every morning for the last 2 years. I was a Eucharistic minister for the church. I even taught CCD for the church, and I said the rosary every day. And, you know, the truth got to me. If you walk up with a Catholic bashing attitude, spewing all sorts of hate towards these people, you're not going to get anywhere. Browbeating ain't the way to do it. You know, you offend somebody, they're going to just build walls around you, like the scriptures say. We need to understand that even the devout Catholic states boldly, I love Jesus, and I don't agree with what my priests are doing. Treat them with respect. It is our job to inform them that no longer, though, they can use that as an excuse, because if they really do love Jesus, they will do as Revelation 18:4 says to do. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. What happened in Massachusetts is not going to make it even easier for Rome to get out from under. It is going to actually, as a matter of fact, make it easier for Rome to get out from under all these lawsuits. It's a no-brainer for those that have eyes to see. Now, what's also very apparent is why Massachusetts is the first to allow homosexual marriages. It is within this state that the news broke first of all these molestations. It's like Daniel said, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. That is one of the characteristics of Antichrist. In a future broadcast, I'm going to share, I've got a list so far of 23. There's a lot more than 23, but I do the one most major ones that are blunt and very obvious, and I'd like to share them on the radio when I get a chance. I couldn't do it all in one broadcast, of course, but I am praying for more time on the air, so keep that in your prayers as well. I got Randy on the phone here from Kentucky. How you doing there, brother? Haven't heard of you in a while.
Can you hear me?
I can, a little bit.
It's much better.
Good, now I can hear you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're doing a fine job again, I'd like to say, and keep it up. This show is, I think it's actually the first
really?
That I've heard on here on any radio that
I don't know if you remember,
brings the truth to light in the present day like you're doing.
Have you been seeing some of the articles that that I've been, you know, talking about? Because most of them, it's like mainstream stuff, but it's kind of like you got to read between the lines stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's hidden agendas. I'd like to say, of course, there is something like that in the Bible also. One of the Roman emperors, I think he had the city caught on fire just so he could persecute the Christians back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, kind of like the wag the dog theology of Clinton, huh?
Sure. No, it's not. See, it's not so far-fetched.
Well, I agree with you. I actually have a file on my, because I keep track of tons of articles. I got over a gig of just text files of articles. And I got certain sections for, you know, the homosexual thing or the gay marriage or the priest things and all this. I have one that's called Molestation Onus. In other words, pulling the molestation onus off of Rome. I should just do a newsletter on that about how many attempts Rome has done to, like, what they call spin doctrine, you know, to put evidence out there into the media to make it look like what they've done is not so bad. But they can't do it because, I mean, common sense, look at it. The Vatican is the largest organization known to man that not only forbids priests to marry, they are also the largest organized known or largest known organization of homosexual men. I mean, just like the prophecy said, it would not desire women. I mean, people have to open their eyes to the reality of this.
Definitely. It's you have such a huge website. You know that you've done some work on that. So,
well, it could be a lot bigger. You know, I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a filing cabinet here that I had for years that's bulging.
If anybody gets on there, it'll take them a while. So,
oh yeah. I wouldn't advise printing it out either, because you'll lose, I don't know, maybe a few dozen cartridges of ink.
Well, doing a great job. I'm going to get off here and let you continue. And I know you have a lot of information to
Thanks again, Randy. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
You take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, well, getting back, I wanted to share, I got another article here, and I haven't really looked it over or anything like that. All I really saw was the headline. It says it enough. It's from the, where is this? Associated Press reporting out of New York. The headline reads, alleged sex abuse by clergy greater than earlier thought. Now, common sense tells us that it is greater than we actually than the media is going to tell us, for one thing, and plus with the gag order that's been put on it, we're not going to get a lot of the information. But how many of us, let's be honest with ourselves, how many of us know of someone who was either molested or has known someone who was molested who has not come forward? You know, that's not an easy thing to come forward about. I know people personally that were molested when they were children, but it's such an embarrassing thing to be, it's kind of like getting conned, like someone just yanks you for your money and does something to you and takes advantage of you. It's kind of embarrassing. I remember when I first found out about the Catholic Church being the house of Antichrist, that it was a little bit embarrassing for me to think that I've been had the wool pulled over my eyes for so many years. But then when I realized that, I says, wait a second. They not only lied to me, but they lied to my wife and kids. They were trying to get me to go to hell with my wife and kids. And then I started Presence of God ministry and started to expose them. But then it got hairy after that. So, but I praise the Lord for it because it gives me an opportunity to share the truth. And we have seen many come out. And not just out of Rome, because there's, Rome's not the only one doing this stuff, of course. Well, when it comes to the molestation situation, it is. But I'm talking about the prophetic evidences of end times theology with the doctrines of demons and whatnot. But it's an amazing sight to behold. I mean, when I first went into the ministry, I thought, and I'm not talking full-time ministry, this was like 19 years ago. When I first started doing this, I thought, well, I would never have to, this is a Christian ministry, so I probably would never have to even, I even thought I would have to report on such decadence as this. I mean, when you think about it, it's vulgar stuff. I'm a Christian. I don't like talking about stuff like this, But it's got to be done, it's better to put it in the prophetic light for the people to understand why it's happening. A lot of people think, you just don't get it, but when you read and see what the scriptures say about what this church is really doing. I mean, I'm not kidding. Every prophecy that has ever been uttered in the scriptures that speaks of Antichrist have not only been proven, but they have been documented to have been fulfilled by the popes of Rome. All you got to do is, it's called the study of eschatology. You take a prophetic event, specifically one that's dated, because those are the easy ones to work with, a dated prophetic event, like in Daniel, he had a lot of dated prophecies in there that were going to happen in certain dates, and then you look in your history books. It's that easy. We got Dara on the phone from Michigan. How you doing there, sister?
I'm doing fine. I just want to say that, this particular kind of behavior really, really upsets me anyway. And I don't know how anyone can excuse this type of behavior. I don't see how anyone can call themselves a Christian and excuse this type of behavior. And then they wonder why their children are messed up. And this is the greatest thing that messes children up.
Yeah.
And I have known many children who have been in these situations, not particularly with people in a church, as always speak, but, uncles, relatives, so on, so forth. I really abhor this. And I really think you're doing a fantastic job of standing up there, and there's thousands of us will stand behind you on this sort of behavior.
Well,
and as you say, we know historically, prophetically, and everything else, the church doing this also. And if people want to excuse it just because they're a pretty nice church, I'm wound up here.
Yeah,
this is wrong. It is wrong, and they're going to find it out. They're going to find it out, and it's going to be very, very painful, and especially if it's one of their children.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a child once, and they're going to understand how precious their child is.
Yeah.
But when a child is messed up by this type of behavior, that's going to be just as horrible as losing that child. And if they ever was to touch my grandchildren, I would scream it from the top of every building in the world.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's so true. The thing that saddens me the most is I know a lot of Catholic people because I've been, you know, dealing with them for quite a few years. And most of them are saddened by this for one reason, because they realize that a lot of people now look at them as either molesters themselves or as people that would defend those who would molest their very own children. And that gets a lot of them to leave the pews. That's one of the reasons they gagged the gag order was put on, because Rome's not stupid, and they realize that their congregation ain't stupid either. And so they try to, you know, keep this kind of information from them so as to prevent the pews from emptying and make it all look like one big old conspiracy or some right-wing or left-wing, I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, especially people who are in the church, in the Catholic Church, they better start watching the signs and the behavior of their children.
Yeah.
And if they think that it's just a minor little thing, it's something that's going to mess up their child the rest of their days.
And I had classmates that were getting molested. I never got molested, so let's just end that right there, because people think I'm on this big old thing to try to get back at the church for molesting me. Nope. I'll tell you right now, I'm a man that doesn't lie. I was never molested by a priest. But you think about this. I know classmates and stuff like, or little kids that go up to mommy and daddy and say, mommy and daddy, the priest said this, and he touched me here, and he told me to do this, and oh, yeah, right, Johnny, what are you, nuts? Get away. You know, they don't believe them. And honestly, that was like back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, it was a little easier for the parents to say that because it was, like, far-fetched. And the
Vatican,
you know, and these priests know this.
Correct.
And so,
nobody wants to believe. They don't even want to believe the children today. And it's not only in the church. I have several friends who have encountered this, like I say, with relatives. This is going on a lot more than what people think. And if they pass this for these priests and they pass this for gay marriages, I'll tell you what, they better go back to their Bible and start reading what happened before the flood.
Yeah.
They better go back and read what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they better take it to heart, because this is serious things that God don't mess with.
Yeah, they're not going to.
There's no excuse for it.
They're not going to do it, because Jesus said it'll be like in the days of Noah, and he also said it'll be like in the days of Lot before he comes back. And they're doing it just, prophecy is 100% accurate. That's what I love about it. And this is what angers the dragon. That's why Revelation 12:17 is written the way it is. Because we not only keep the commandments, we have the testimony of Jesus, which Revelation 19:10 says is the spirit of prophecy, and that's the main reason people from Rome, like the Vatican, don't much care for people like us, because we could tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow. It's just a matter of just going by, and it's not because we're prophets. No, I'm not a prophet. I just understand prophecy.
Well, true, and another thing is people better get in their Bibles and start reading this stuff, but the Catholics, admit this stuff. I mean, you know, how naive can you be when they're out there admitting it?
Yeah.
You know, I hate to even think of it ever happening to my child, you know. And when my children were in school, if I'd have known there was a gay person teaching my child, it would have not been. Let me tell you what, it would have not been, because I'd have took it on. And, I mean, this is one subject that I... You know, like I say, if you have lost a child, you know the preciousness of a child.
Yeah.
And this is one area. You touch a child, you hurt a child in any way, shape, or form. And let me tell you what, God is going to, his wrath is going to come on you.
Oh, yeah.
Like you would never believe.
Yeah.
And you can tell I'm excited over it. Or
yeah.
Not excited, but upset over it, because that's how strongly I feel on it. And that's how strongly I feel on the naivety of people. You know, anything goes today. Well, it don't go today. Are you there?
Yeah. And that's why Jesus said, you know, be better than that man was never born. You know, mess it with the little kids. You know, suffer the little children to come unto me. The Bible's plain. Train the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And so the devil figures, okay, let's mess with the child when they are young, so that when they are old, they'll not have no idea. You know, they'll be all messed up. And when you look at the little kids, because I know some of them that were literally terrorized by these priests. Some of the horror stories that you read in the media before they gagged it were insane about what these priests were telling these young boys and holding them down and saying, would you like to make love to Jesus? I got actual articles where they say that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, people know this.
Yeah.
People literally know this. But they're so involved in their own little lives that nothing matters anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, nothing literally matters anymore. And it's such a shame because I have grandchildren, little grandchildren. And, I mean, you know, I don't know. I do. I know what I would do. Like I say, I would be in the news. I would go to anybody that would listen to me, and it would be brought down in my particular case because they would. They would have to go to jail or whatever. They would have to pay for what they did to my children because my grandchildren would have to live with it for the rest of their life. Why shouldn't they pay for what they've done to them mentally and physically?
And plus,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and plus, Mommy and Danny would have to pay for it, too, because if you think about it, even though they might get a couple of hundred grand from the Vatican, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, my
child. That's nothing in compared to what has harmed your child.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, that one father, Mayday, Norman Mayday, in the Chicago area, molested a bunch of little kids. They caught him. And, well, the parents caught him, and instead of him going to jail, they shuffled him down 1 mile down the road to the next church. And it was Our Lady of the Ridge Catholic Church in Chicago Ridge, Illinois. And then he got caught again, but this time, I guess, one of the families that he, you know, one of the children that he molested, the parents said, oh, no, we ain't going to take your money. This man's going to go behind bars. He got 44 years.
Well, that's the way that it's...
20 years ago.
That's the way that it should be because, like I say, I know too many people who are, if they want to admit it, are messed up because of this sort of behavior.
Yeah.
Girls and boys alike.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like that one priest that was on that cruise, it was 30 girls that he messed with. So it's not just the little boys.
Right.
You know, it's not just the little boys.
And the only thing that I'm saying is I know the pain and I know the hurt of people that this has happened to. You know, and I know people. I know somebody right now that is dying of AIDS because of getting with somebody who paid him attention or whatever, and I know of a relative of mine who I am 100% sure that he died of AIDS, and that happened to him by going to college.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't have to hide stuff. You need to get it out there, and you need to tell, you know, I was never afraid to tell my mother if anybody was looking or, you know, wanting to do something funny in my... To me, I mean, I ran, and I ran fast, and evidently my mother listened because I never had any problems again.
Yeah,
but I'm very adamant on this subject. I mean, you know, do this. You don't do this to children.
I know.
You do not.
And one of the reasons they got away with it as long as they did because most people would believe a little girl coming up because women are a lot more attractive even when they're young, you know. So it's a little bit easier to believe the little, you know, the little girl. The little boy, come on, he's yanking your chain or something, you know. And most of the parents were really not at fault understanding that until they actually caught the priest doing it. And then I would put fault on the parent for allowing money to change hands rather than that man to go behind bars. They should never have allowed that. But money talks.
I have sons, so I'm very adamant on it. I haven't had any daughters, but I know a lot of friends who have had daughters. And when them... And even boys, and when them children come to you because they can't go to their parents, because you will at least listen to them and won't take and make them look like they're stupid or you won't believe them, you know, they will talk. These children will talk.
Yeah.
And they're too young to know things that, they're too young to talk like that.
Well, we're out of time,
okay.
Sir. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We're going to all, you know, one of these days I'm going to have to give you a call. Because you have a lot to share, and it'd be something worth listening to. Well, it looks like we are definitely out of time. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry signing off. Stop by the site for all that shared that was shared here and more, remnantofgod.org. And thanks go out to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you guys have any extra money this month, send it their way so that they can stay on the air, so that more truth like this can get out there more freely. And always remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless you. See you next time. Oh, and Wednesday, 3 o'clock, Central Time, this will be rebroadcast. Take care. God bless you.